Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Anthony Gitch. Neither Anthony nor I, nor our wonderful guests today are licensed medical professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, so please do not make any changes to any treatments or medications that you are on based on the conversation you hear today. Take what you like and leave the rest. And while you're leaving things, make sure that you leave us a like, a nice review, a thumbs up, and share us around with your friends. So, hey, welcome, Anthony. Nice to see you again, my friend.
Nice to see you too, Nicole. You look nice and fresh, as if you are in a nice summery part of the world, because you are, and it kind of sucks because we're here in the cold. But at any rate, we are here today with someone who I didn't know anything about until Nicole brought him into my view. And I am really glad to be introducing Mr. Willie Piggy. He's out of Arkansas. And Arkansas, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's what I thought we just talked about. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, did I just make that up? and so I'm excited because Willie and I are somewhat, we're from the same family. We're brothers from another, from the same mother, from the same father, actually, we'll just say a five path background. And I didn't recognize that until later. So I'm going to be hitting hard today. It's going to be a great conversation. I'm excited. Everybody, Mr. Willie Piggy.
What's up? What's up, everybody?
Welcome, Willie. It's really exciting to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I actually came across you on Facebook and saw that you'd been doing some Facebook live kind of hypnosis and you've been sharing some of the things that you'd been doing during this time. Oh, yeah. So tell us a bit about your background and how you got into the world of hypnosis.
All started a long time ago. When I was a kid, I saw one of my family members get hypnotized when we were out shopping, you know. Of course, they had a hypnotist out there doing street hypnosis. And I saw my family member, he hypnotized them and he had them barking, you know. And I just thought, man, that was so funny, you know. And I'm like, well, at some point I have to learn this. And then fast forwarded years and years ahead of time to, it was in 2013, I got the opportunity to go to Plano, Texas, and take some training with Celeste Hackett, which is a five path teacher. And it was from that point on, you know, I have to say one thing. When I first started with Celeste, and our first day, we learned, I learned what we call, I had a brain part now.
It'll be interesting to hear how Celeste's class was different from the class that I took. I've got a question for you. You're even talking about that, I know I jump in like this, but
When you left class,
did you feel as if, because we had two different instructors, I want to make sure pointing that out. Did you feel as if you could walk into public and hypnotize somebody on the spot? That'd be a no. I'm just curious.
I was eager. I was ready to get out. I was inside. I was ready. Outside I was ready, but inside I was like, hold on, you got to learn some more, you know? And of course, after I finished with the training, you know, I got out and I absorbed, you know, all the information I can. I read books, you know, and just watch videos and stuff like that. But you just never feel like you're you're ready. So you just got to jump out there and start trying to swim, you know?
Yeah. And so, and obviously you've been successful at making that happen, because here we are almost 10 years later, and you know, you're one of the people that have made it through the pandemic. You're still going strong. You're still out there doing it. So obviously you're doing something right. And I think that's why, you know, we want to talk to people who are working in the field, see what they're doing and see how they're making it happen.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not near what I thought it would be. You know,
when you left class, you didn't get 10 people signed up right now and make $600,000 your first year.
God, I wish. I wish.
That's kind of what I was told too. You're gonna be a millionaire.
None of that happened.
We
make a joke about it, because we've talked about this quite a few times on this show with different people. You know, the fact that there's a lot of courses out there that are very expensive, and saying, you know, come and train with us and you'll be the best hypnotist, and then you'll be able to go out and make, you know, like six figures and seven figures and stuff like that. And it's marketing, really. It's pure marketing, and it's not. I mean, I was really surprised when I first graduated. I was like trying to find all of these people to practice on. Everybody was like, "Nope, leave my shit alone." Like,
exactly.
I'm happy with it where it is. So I was like, "What? You mean you don't want to be fixed?" Yeah.
No, they don't.
People are happy swimming in the crap that they're comfortable with, right? Oh, this is body temperature. This is good, right? And I tell my students, you know, they think that they see some of the stuff out there, and then they hear what we charge for classes and for control certification, and it's nowhere near what I paid for my education, but I let them know that there's a reason for that. We're more interested in, are you getting a good education? Can you walk out of there weekend number one and stick someone's foot to the floor or hand to their desk and demonstrate that you're actually a professional that knows how to do hypnosis? And you know, I mean, not that that creates the change, but you've got a really good understanding of what it you're doing to say that this is who you are. And then I tell them, it's just like professional football. You know, there are some of those professional football players out there who make a shitload of money. There's a lot of the other teammates, they're not making that kind of money.
All right, they're getting water.
You know, yeah, the linebacker, you know, the linebacker who is the second lineman, he's not making $1 million a year like the quarterback is. So they've got to take that. We're all on the same team, but we all have different – There's a percentage of people who are up there, like with everything, the top 2%,
1%. Different skill sets.
Yeah, and we got to be okay with that. I mean, I don't really want to do what the people I know that are making six figures aren't having as much fun as I'm having.
No,
they got more money, but they're not having as much fun as me.
It's hard, man. When I first got out, you know, my first client, you know, I sat down with them, and once I actually sat down with them, I didn't have no idea what I was doing. You know, I sat down, I'm like, what the? And so I had my scripts, you know, stuff to go by, which I don't use scripts now, by the way. I really hate scripts, but I had my scripts, you know, and I fumbled through the words and got lost here and there, and like and then just looked at the person wondering if they were hypnotized or not, you know. And of course I ran through all my stuff, and at one point I was working my first client, and they're opening their eyes, and they're like, they open their eyes and they're like, am I hypnotized? You know, and I'm like, sure, just close your eyes.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a cooperation game. You know, I can't hypnotize you unless you want to be hypnotized, you know? And of course I'll tell them, you know, close your eyes and just follow my instructions and, you know, of course, think about what I ask you to think about and all that stuff. And but if you close your eyes and you wondering what your grocery list gonna look like for tomorrow, then I can't help you, you know. And so my first client, it was a total disaster. I feel like, you know, I went through all the training. I feel like I was unstoppable before the meeting, before the session. And then just in the session, I was just like totally flopped because I was trying to read off this paper, you know. And while I'm reading off this paper, I'm not paying no attention to the person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Because you're so focused on the delivery of the content that you're not connected with the
Yeah. And I'm like, how can I work with the person, with the person's issue, if I'm trying to figure out, you know, what a script says or what this section says that has nothing to do with this person.
Right.
No.
Right.
And so that's when I just started, I just went for more training. I'm like, obviously, I mean, and of course my second, third client, it got better, you know, as I saw more people and it got easier, but I just something inside me, like just reading stuff off to people. This is for the birds.
Yeah. You
know? So
good for you for recognizing that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And good for, you know, I got to tell you, listening to your first experience, that is a first experience of a lot of people that are out of any hypnosis. Well, I'm not going to say any hypnosis class, because people, a lot of those folks that are required to do live stuff in class don't have that sort of experience. And that was one of the things that Nicole and I have talked about with some folks, that, you know, when you don't have the opportunity, when you're told flat out in class, and this didn't dawn on me until just recently, right? Mm-hmm. So, but here we're told in class, this is way too gentle and too delicate for you to work on it with each other. We don't want you to do that because we don't want to open up this can of worms that could possibly happen and interfere with training. Now, when I think about, that's what they told me, but they wanted me then to go out after I got my certificate, my paper with my name on it that says I can do this. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to be able to handle what reality is going to throw at me, even though I didn't get to experience it in class. Ooh, you know, and that's what I think about now. It's like, dude, I should have ran. But on the flip side, I'm glad I had the training I got, because it gave me some foundational stuff that I think is important that helped drive to where I am today and how I work.
Well,
today.
Yeah,
exactly.
That can be true for any training, right? Yeah. I mean, I think I would find it weird if you're doing a training and that you're not doing any practice in the training. I mean, you need to be practicing on other people. There's an argument to say that you need to be able to experience it, whether you know, everybody experiences it in their own way, but to have some sort of experience on the receiving end and the giving end, so that when you do graduate, you're like, yeah, okay, I can work with somebody. I've already worked with some people, even though it's in a controlled environment. I still, you know, because well, isn't it back, better, you know, in that experience?
Yeah, isn't it better in that, in control, especially with the kind of work that? Okay, so just to fill you in, Willie, Nicole is an RTT therapist, and it's very similar to 5-PATH in a lot of ways. And so here we are as practitioners being trained and instructed to go out and induce ab reaction as a way to create healing and transformation, yet don't do it with anybody until you charge for it. Really?
That's not the way that it was.
Not you, but with Willie and I, that's the way it was.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's there's no case studies. There's no, okay, you made it through class. You showed up for class each day. Here's your certificate. It's kind of like that old, who's that comedian from the South? You say, here's your sign. That's kind of.
Well, where's your sign? Yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy or something like that. You know, I kind of feel like with that education, here's your certificate. It's like, well, thanks. That's important. Woo.
Nicole, did you train with Marissa?
Yeah, I did. That was the first training that I did. And I mean, to be fair, we did a lot of practice. But I paid a lot of money to do that training. And, you know, at the time, you had different options. You could do just an online version, or you could do an in-person, you know, the online, you know, like a hybrid.
Yeah.
And I went for the hybrid version. But I was also, I mean, from very early on in my online learning, I was like, I need to practice this straight away. So, you know, it was kind of like that initial, and then I grabbed hold of one of my friends and I was like, I need to practice. And just started practicing straight away with some of my friends, really. And as soon as I got over that, I started just doing it in pieces and started practicing pieces of it and very much freestyling it. And just freestyling it off of what I'd been watching and taking notes on and learning. So I got very confident very quickly just freestyling. And also I was doing it in two languages. I was doing it in Spanish, which is not my mother tongue. That was where that was how I started. The first session I did was in Spanish. And I was like, oh, how do you say this in Spanish? And how do you do that in Spanish? So I got over that hurdle of, oh, can I do this? Because from very, very early on, I was like, I need to do this now to get confident doing it. Otherwise, you know, where am I going to be later on?
Yeah.
I've discovered one thing is now that I've had a lot more training since my first initial five path, I discovered once to get somebody deep down in a trance or into their focus, you know, I pretty much find myself saying some stuff. I'm like, did I have to re-listen to myself? I'm like, what did I just say? You know, but it's kind of like you find yourself now that I, like you said, freestyle it, you know, and I find myself going into trance or going into hypnosis with the person, you know.
You're entering a state of flow with them. And, and so you're all like, all of a sudden you're like, where the hell did that just come from?
Exactly.
Cool. That just came out of my mouth. Right on.
I'm like, I didn't even know that word, but I just said it. You know,
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, and it happens a lot. And they be like, so what are you going to do in this? When I first meet each session with people, they be like, what are you going to do in this session? I'm like, I don't know. You know, you know, it just depends. Let's see. You know.
That's where it goes. What it is that your subconscious needs and how it drives the session.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And one thing I have learned that I do like to do is I like to do the some kind of emotional detox with them, you know, just to start off every session, just to get rid of all that crap, you know, just on the surface. Because, you know, every day we wake up, we deal with something different, you know, it's different with every person. So we just want to just kind of like take that hypnotic broom and just dust those cobwebs off so you can get in there and do the real work. But yeah.
Nice.
It's
nice. Yeah. Nice. That's the nice way to set the session up.
Yeah. We're going to, just get them ready to go.
So you primarily, now are you a generalist or do you primarily focus on one particular sort of clientele?
Well, like I said, I want my niche to be in sports hypnosis, but I like to work with all of them, with all kinds of things, you know, especially stress, because who the hell is not stressed?
Right.
You know. You know, show me a stressed person, I'll show you a fake world. You show me an unstressed person, I'll show you a fake world, you know?
Yeah.
I generally, I like I said, niching sports, but all around, just whatever person come in with.
Right.
So
on.
When you say sports, do you mean sports performance? What kind of sports hypnosis?
More or less sports performance, pre-game, post-games and stuff like that, mentally getting them ready, visual, you know, of course, visualizing, mantras and stuff like that, you know, and just, general all around, just getting them getting them where they feel they're in their position and giving them the tools set, the tools they need to teach, to take themselves in and out of trance. Because, you know, of course, with athlete, they are finally going in and out of trance themselves all the time, you know, because they're going in and out that zone, you know. And I'm just basically, I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to show you this technique, you know, that you can use while you're on the field, or you, or when you're on the court, or you're out there on a tennis course and stuff like that, where you can, access these and use these right then and there, you know. And then, of course, if they want to, I like to sit down with my athletes and after a game, if they want to sit down and talk and go over some new techniques or reiterate, you know, on some stuff, then, you know, it's always an option that I do with them.
Right. Nice. So I believe you've also got a background in massage therapy, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, both of us as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So Birds did you work feather. Did you do sports massage? What kind of massage did you do?
Yeah, I do mostly medical massage because I work out at a fitness center inside of a hospital. But I do medical, a lot of sports massage because, you know, got runners and people who lift weights inside the gym. Then you got the college that's like right down the road from us, you know, got runners coming in for and baseball players and you name it, you know, coming in for injuries and stuff.
Right on.
Yeah.
So do you incorporate any of your hypnosis work in with those folks when you're doing any of your visualization for healing, meniscus tears, all that kind of good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
I do. Some of my players, when they're on the table and stretching, you know, I just have them imagine that muscle as a stretching and stuff like, just imagine those cords of energy just floating around and just repairing stuff like that. And just, you know, of course some people, they'd be like, no man, just stretch me out, you know.
Like, don't do, they're all like, don't do the woo-woo shit, man. Yeah. I ain't here for a witch doctor. Yeah. Just stretch my leg, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just give us some deep tissue, you know. Let me put my headphones on and listen to my DMX some on Tupac or something. Why are you working on me? I'm like,
yeah, you don't exist. You're just here to do services. Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Right on.
No.
So have you converted any of your massage clients over to sort of hypnosis and sports performance?
A couple of them. Not a lot of them, but a couple of them. It's the, except the sports, I can put it out there, you know, and I could let them know I'm there, and they just come to me if they need me.
Now, do you find, is it majority of your clientele? So now Nicole and I have one of the things behind this podcast is that we have been trying to really build community, right? And we're trying to bring people in from all different backgrounds and all that kind of different stuff. So we've had someone on from Lebanon. We've got people from all over the country in the Philippines or Taiwan. Where was she at? Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh, was it? She was in
Ophelia.
Jakarta.
Was in,
she was in Jakarta.
Right. Okay.
He was in Jakarta. So, and we've had a couple other Black hypnotists on. One of the things that we're doing, though, is we're curious, do you find that in your community, do you find that hypnosis itself is kind of more guarded against in the community? What, or do you, what is your experience with that? Because, you know, I mean, and this is part of, we want to understand what's, we don't see a lot of Black therapists. Why is this?
Well, I can tell you personally from my family specifically, you know, they were like, man, get away from me with that shit. <You know? laughs> They be like, no, you're not going to mind control me. I'm like, it's not my control. It's focus. You know, it's your focus, you know, or you're not going to make me do this, or you're not going to make me do that. Or I don't need you to go. And I don't need you to be messing with my head, man. You know, and it's general with a lot of sisters and brothers out there. And they're like, no, I'm good. You know, I don't need this. Mm. You know, and I'd be like, well, you never know till you try, you know. but for the most part, there's not a bunch of us that are interested, you know. Of course you got a few out there like me, and I know some other African American or Black hypnotists out there. Not a lot, you know. There's not a lot of us,
right?
You know, that I know of.
What do you attribute that to? Why do you think there is such a lack of diversity in this profession?
Well, honestly, I could, it's just not something. Like if I saw it done, you know, in a comedic type of way, you know, I don't think I would have ever been interested in it.
Wow.
Yeah, but you see those movies out there like Get Out, for instance, you know.
Yeah, doesn't that help the whole situation out of time?
Yeah. If my family didn't talk to me then, they sure now wasn't gonna talk to me now. Like, nope, I seen the movie. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Because that movie is true, you know.
Yeah, everything in Hollywood is true. What you gonna talk about? But there are a few Black hypnotists out there, like Chris. I know of a few. I don't know the last name.
There's Chris Black. And Chris Black is a musician as well. Mm-hmm. Great guy. I'm gonna have to hook you guys up.
Yeah.
So you guys can meet
Mr.
each other.
P.
Who?
Mr. P. Let's see. He's one I studied a lot of because he's from Texas. Hypnotist.
Did you write that down, Nicole?
And then you got there's a few I can't think of off the top of my head. Mm. But that I've run across their YouTube channels and then most of their work and stuff that they put out. I just observe it, you know, because I'm like, hey, these are people that, you know, these are brothers and sisters doing the same thing I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, why not connect and help each other?
Yeah.
Grow.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. We want to help create a community just within the hypnosis world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we're all about referrals. Right. And if there's somebody who I come across that I think, you know, is going to be more comfortable, or you may have a better understanding of what their issues are, I sure like to have people to refer out to. Because I, you know, here in Seattle, I live in a very diverse community, and I've had a couple calls that says, you know, I would prefer to work with, you know, an African American. And I've been like, well, you know, I mean, I know who I've had two to choose from that I've known that I'm not going to refer to just anybody just because that's not fair either. You know, I want to talk to somebody. I want to know, are they good what they're doing? And so it's good to have someone else to add to that list.
Yeah.
You know, it's because if anything that we can do to help each other build our businesses and get the word out there that this is a wonderful tool for people. Doesn't matter where you're from or your background. It's a great tool.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so how does your, because you've got children, haven't you? I think you said you've got.
Yes, yeah. I have a 21-year-old. I have a 19-year-old. I have a 9-year-old.
I thought you were going to say I've got 21 kids. I was like,
no.
I'm glad that didn't go there. Yeah.
Well, you are a busy man. No wonder you needed to learn hypnosis.
So how does your hypnosis education, your experience, your work, how do you bring that into your family life? Do your kids have an interest? How do you find that kind of influences how you interact with your kids?
I find myself watching my kids' patterns more, you know, and when they're mm-hmm. talking and when they're pouting or something, like, 'cause you know, kids, they're going to pout all the time. I turn around the subject and I'd be like, you know why you're pouting? You know, I'd be like, do you know why you feel this way right now? Or do you know why you're nervous? And I try to explain to them, you know, and then I try to teach them techniques. You know, my 9-year-old, I have her to meditate with me and stuff, and I have her to do self-hypnosis, you know. My older son, I do work with him, you know. I do stress and all kinds of, you know, because he's 21, he's out there, he's learning, making mistakes, you know, living his life, mm-hmm. you know. Whenever I see him and whenever we get a chance, we sit down and I take him into a trance and just show him how to go in there and just help de-stress his life and stuff like that. And it's making me overall more of a calm person, because, you know, kids, they can make you crazy. But
yeah. But, no, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've heard they can.
Yeah. They most definitely can. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's made me a lot more calm a person. And mm-hmm. instead of yelling, instead of, you know, getting angry and yelling, you know, I sit down, I do the self work, you know. How can you help it and work with everybody else if you can't work on yourself?
There you go. Yep.
You know. Mm. Yeah. And so I have to do a lot of self work, because nobody's perfect. You know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, I make them on a daily, and all I can do is continue to do my self work, my self hypnosis, my meditation, my mantras, you know, every day and every way I'm getting better and better, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So are you working mostly online, or do you work face to face? How do you see clients?
Most of my clients are online right now. Since the pandemic, I'm like, no, I just see you on the other side of the screen.
Yeah. So are you still doing massage therapy right now then?
Yes.
Right on. Okay.
Yes. I do it daily, Monday through Fridays, Monday through Saturday.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. You're a hardworking man.
Yeah. Yeah. Got bills. Kids like shoes. So.
Oh, gotta see, make times that shoe are a money. Change, and we like shoes too, but we had to go pick Filberts and Berries.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
we had to work for those shoes.
We handed down shoes, you know.
Yeah, me too. Banana. You like shoes, you better go get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. I shouldn't say it was that bad, but my dad would probably be listening to that going, holy crap, it makes you sound like you were nothing.
Yeah, between my girls, there's like 40, 50 pair of shoes in their closets. Oh, you know.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a like. That is definitely a kid's like shoes then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go shopping for some new sneakers I saw on TV. I'm like, turn the TV off then, you know. But yeah,
you hypnotize them. Children don't have feet.
Yeah. Do some self-hypnosis. Visualize yourself getting a job and earning the money to go buy those shoes.
Yeah. This one, they refused to work with me. Yeah, get a job. That's what I got you for, daddy.
Yes. This hypnosis stuff doesn't work anyway, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
So how do you build your business? How are you in the process of building your business? How do people get in touch with you? How do you find that kind of stuff? Is it all referral or?
A lot of it's referral. I do like I say on Thursdays, most Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I stream live and I do group sessions, online group sessions, you know, just to de-stress, detox, you know, get rid of some stress. You know, it's not specific, you know, it's not one of those deep dives type of group sessions, just a general, you know, let's just dust some cobwebs off.
Right, right.
You know? And I invite people and I run it off of my Facebook page, my hypnotist Willie Piggy Facebook page.
Okay.
And I put it up and let people just go there at their leisure and just they can follow along because I leave the recording on there, and so they can just do that. And I get people contacting me from there, like, you know, I want to do more of a personal thing, you know, more of a one-on-one session. I'm like, that's cool. And of course I do a lot of stuff. I put a lot of videos on my YouTube channel and also my Instagram, you know, social media. You get a video. Yeah.
Right on. See, I'm not good at that. I'm not either.
But
well, but you're doing it.
The question is that you're doing it, you know, you're doing it.
Yeah.
I did it real hard and heavy for a while. And then I learned that Instagram changed up their algorithm. And it's like, if your picture didn't match your words and it didn't go to the right people that you wanted to actually see it, I'm like, well, I do everything in metaphors. Of course, the picture ain't going to match the fucking words. So I'm like, I'm done with these bastards. Screw them.
It's all right. Yes, indeed.
Good for you, man. I don't have the energy for it.
Yeah.
I'd rather do stuff like this.
Well. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. It's you know, I think the business. I was very much taught you need to build your business online, and it's all about, you know, doing Facebook lives, doing Instagram, creating valuable content. And I get that. And I totally get that. And I hit it hard for about 2 months and then I crashed. I completely crashed. And then I was like, I've got nothing left to say. I don't even know how. I can't sit in front of a camera and talk to myself anymore.
Yeah.
And it just became, you know, I just completely crashed and burned, and it just became really difficult. And I just... Yeah, I mean, I just so much prefer talking to people like this, talking to people face to face. And, you know, okay, we're still in the midst of this pandemic. Nobody knows how this is going to swing. A lot of countries have gone back into lockdown. They're talking about putting the UK back into lockdown, which is where I'm based. So nobody knows if face to face is going to be a thing and how much longer it's going to be for. Right. Most of my work is online anyway, but the social media thing, I find for me personally, it has been really draining. And I think a lot of people find, some people really thrive off of it. And I really kind of, I'm like, wow, good for you. But personally, I find it really, really draining.
Yeah.
And it's,
I don't enjoy being on Facebook. I don't, you know, I'm not,
I don't,
it's not that I'm not, I care about my friends and I care that they're having good lives, but I'm not necessarily that I don't need to be that involved with their, I don't need to know what they had for dinner last night. I really don't care. And that doesn't mean that I don't care about them, but I don't care what you had for dinner last night. That's
the living room.
I'm just not a parent, Anthony.
If it was pictures of somebody's dog, you'd be all over it.
No, I'm not interested in other people's dogs either. I'm just not interested in other people's lives. Unless they want to come to me and we want to work together, great. Mm-hmm. If we're sitting down having a one-on-one or a group conversation, great. Let's hear about what's going on. But otherwise, to go and to peer through your window or to look at what it is that you want me to see.
It very much depends on how you're using social media. You know, it very much depends. And, you know, there are ways that you can unfollow people. And I only learned that not that long ago, and I was like, oh, isn't that interesting? I can get all of this crap off my feed. How exciting.
The thing is that and just... all of the people I'm interested in is what I did. Mm-hmm. I made a big mistake. I had like 4,000 people on my friends list at one point. Wow. And then mm-hmm. I went through, none of those people knew me. They're mm-hmm. just people that, you know, friends for the book and for the conventions and this and that. And so I went through one year and I was like, screw this. It was the political time too. And all this political shit was going on. So I went through, and if I hadn't broken bread with you or I hadn't had a one-on-one discussion with you, I went through and I just did a dump. And then I started doing things differently in my business, and I was hitting myself in the head going, dude, you just got rid of like 2,800 people that you could have marketed to.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck did you just do? Because I'm not going to go out and like send, hey, you want to be a friend again? I want to be a friend again. So I'm just, whatever. I'm just done with it, I think.
But anyway, coming full circle, well done you.
Yes, well done you.
And putting all of that content out all over the place, because
it's well done. Right.
So Willie, we kind of like to ask our guests about a learning curve in your sort of business, or mm-hmm. maybe with a client or something like that. One of those maybe sessions where you think, oh, I wouldn't, you know, looking back, I definitely wouldn't have done that way, or I really learned something from this, or maybe a business decision. Mm-hmm. along the way or something of the sort where you got, you know, a big learning from and it boosted you in some way or another. Do you have a story you can share with us, an insight, wisdom?
A lot of my clients that I've worked with, there was one in specific that she had a, I was working with her, and we were doing a Gestalt therapy, you know, and she just totally just freaked out, and I had a talking to the person that's, you know, hurt her, and you know, and then she, I don't know what happened, but she was just like, just started just throwing, you know, and of course I gave her the pillow and stuff, like beat on the pillow and stuff, you know, that what we have to do. Yeah, and just like, I know that role. Yeah. And she was beating the pillow, and at this point, for some reason, I went blank. And I was like, what do I do from here? You know, and I'm thinking, what, and I'm like, now calm down. I'm thinking, then while I'm saying calm down, I'm like, no, this is not what I'm supposed to be saying, you know, in my head, you know, I'm supposed to be saying something different. And anyway, she snapped out of it, you know, and we ended the session. She ended the session from there. She was like, you know what, maybe this is not working for me, you know, and me being fresh and new, you know, I was like, okay. And at that point, I took a pause from actually doing hypnosis for a little bit there, you know.
Well, and that's the problem with not being able to have an ab reaction, deal with an ab reaction live in class, right? Yeah. That's what they want you to have happen. But then when it happens and you haven't had the experience with the reality of it, it's freaking scary. It can be,
Yeah, but I've learned my lesson since then. From more training I've had since then, that as far as ab reactions and stuff like that, whenever I'm working with that client, I've discovered they're just I don't really call them ab reactions anymore. I just call them reactions, mm-hmm. and every reaction has a cause for it. You know, there's a reason for that reaction, you know, and I just now, instead of just freaking out, I'm like, that's right. And just let that feeling go through, you know, just let it all burn through. And when you're done with that, just see yourself, you know, see that feeling just calming down and see yourself getting more and more, you know, de-stressed and feeling more knowledge from that experience, you know. You know, and as they work through it, and I'm like, just right, take the learnings, take the understandings, see what you've seen and everything, feel what you're feeling, you know, and just work through it with your current knowledge that you have now. You know, because at that point, when somebody have had a reaction to something, it's based off their learnings, their understanding of everything, the time at that moment, you know. Because it's the unconscious subconscious locks it in, you know. But I have them to look at it from the point that they're at then or now, with the learnings and understandings that they have now versus what they had then, and just take their reaction and see and get herself overall general understanding of everything. But something like that, just, and it just words different. I just word it different depending on who I'm working with and what I'm feeling and what they're feeling. But ever since that one situation, that's when I really went, after I took a break, that's when I went to start doing more training. So I'm like, I'm not prepared. You know, I gotta get more equipped, because I didn't feel equipped, you know. So yeah. I went and trained and with the Mike Mandel Academy, then I trained with the Jacquelines, you know.
Anthony was on the show last week.
Freddie was on the show.
Oh man. I'm Anthony.
Yes. You gotta love Freddie, man.
Yep.
Training with them, I've trained with the Mike Mandels and Anthony and with the Jacquelines. I've learned so much more in a different way. And business wise, I'm glad for the training that I've took, because I know what I know from that, you know, and I know how to do things differently if I have to do it differently.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, the more you know, the better off you're equipped.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Sure.
But right now, I'm just going to take what I got now and just work with what I got now and stop paying so much freaking money for so many trainings.
Yes. Yeah, some of those trainings are expensive. They can be spendy for sure.
I think that's a great you know, sort of lesson as well. I always say, I do some mentoring for students, and I always say to them, you know, I kind of use a bus driver as an analogy. Right, so these are trainee hypnotherapists that I'm mentoring. I'm like, right, okay, if you're on a bus and it's raining outside and there's kind of, you know, cars everywhere and there's loads of traffic and motorbikes weaving in and out of the traffic and people kind of walking out on the road, because that's a good idea when it's raining, you know, people do that.
Yeah.
And the bus driver's like freaking out. If you're the passenger, how are you feeling if the bus driver's totally freaking out? You're freaking out as well, right? And what do you want to do? You want to get off the bus. Yeah,
exactly.
Same situation, and the bus driver's going, do you know what, it's raining, it rains a lot around here, that's all good, I've got this, and there's motorbikes kind of weaving in and out and I can see them because I've my heightened awareness and stuff, and there's people walking out in the road because that's what they do when it rains, because they think that's a good idea, but that's cool, I've got that, I can see them. You know, if you're the passenger on that bus, how are you feeling? You're feeling much calmer. You kind of just get on with it, right? You're listening to music, flicking through your Facebook, whatever you're doing, and you're just happy to get off at your stop. Be the bus driver for your clients, that your clients want to stay on the bus. You know, stay calm no matter what happens. And the more tools and learning that you have, you know, when you feel confident in your toolbox, you feel confident in yourself, it's much easier for you to be that bus driver that's like, I can navigate whatever comes my way, and this person's happy to stay on the bus.
Exactly.
Yeah, no matter what happens, you can just, you make it, it's kind of like, you just keep moving forward with the expectation that was kind of like when you said, well, and shut your eyes, you know, that was great. Mm-hmm. You know, you just keep moving forward. Like, that's exactly what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Because you need to continue to build that ability up in them that this is in fact working, because
Cool. Well, Willie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Before we go, where and how can people find you?
Well, they can find me on either on Facebook at Hypnotist Willy Piggy, or they can find me go to my YouTube. It don't have a, I think it'll be a link in the video somewhere down here in this podcast, but or my website is willempowers.com.
Willempowers.com. All right, all of that will be in the show notes, and hopefully we'll get in touch with you at a later date and see how things are going. Reconnect again and sit down and see how things have changed once all this pandemic stuff is once we get back to what the new normal will be, whatever that looks like.
What's normal anyway, though?
There you go. Perfect. Well, thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was a blast. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, Willie. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Take care.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.